always say I'm amazed, but I don't always understand why that's the word that I use, that God plans things far in advance of anything that I could ever do. And in planning out the year and setting up everything, trying to get an idea where we would be going, not knowing at the time that today would be the day we'd be honoring our graduates, I believe the Lord has put a message on my heart for you graduates, but far beyond y'all, for all of us. So I ask that y'all listen this morning. I hope you have a copy of a bulletin. It's got an outline in there. But I want us to look at today the realities of the presence of God. And what I want to do today through God's Word is I want to point out to you, or to show to you through God's Word, what I believe are four realities to the presence of God. I believe all of us in here today would probably say that we want the presence of God with us. And what we understand as we approach into God's Word is that who he is writing to, Moses was writing and recalling to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. So we could kind of look at that today as believers, as God's chosen people, and I believe the aspects of these realities will also line up with us. So we need to remember that this was God's chosen people, that this is going on, what was happening, and to bring us up to speed just a little bit so that we can just take off and run with this morning, is I want us to understand, we looked at, if you remember last week, that we were talking about the Lord calling the people together at Mount Sinai after they had left out of Egypt. God was speaking to them, giving them the Ten Commandments. And then what has happened between last week and this week is God called Moses back up onto Mount Sinai. And on that mount, God gave him a tablet with what we call today the Ten Commandments on them. Moses come back down, and God had called his people to be separate people, to be set apart, to not have any other idols or any other gods before them. Moses walks down because he hears of a commotion, and God told him he needed to go back down there. And when he walks down, the people have formed a golden calf. They have taken the jewels, the gold that God blessed them with when they left Egypt. Remember, God said, ask them for stuff, and they gave them gold, and they've taken a lot of their jewelry, and they've given it, and they have created an idol. Moses was mad. Moses threw down and broke those Ten Commandments. Then he goes back up on the mountain and has to cut some more stones out. And this time God relays the message to him, and Moses has to chisel out. And that's where we're at today. Moses has now come back down, and things are going on. So that's kind of the story that we're going to hear as we look through these scriptures. But what I want you to understand today, the first reality of the presence of God is the reality that sin can remove you from the presence of God, but not his covenant. I want you to understand that. Sin can remove us from the presence of God, but it cannot remove us from his covenant. Church, let me tell you today, regardless of what you hear, what anyone tells you, whatever you have ever thought, this Bible is truth. It is a copy of God's Word, and it tells us all throughout that God is a faithful God. God is faithful to his covenant, to his promise. God had made a covenant with the nation of Israel. God had made a covenant before he chose them to be his nation with their forefathers. We're going to see that if you'll take your Bibles and open to Exodus chapter 33 this morning. Exodus chapter 33, as we walk our way through this, I want you to be seeing and understanding how this applies to us. And we understand the first reality that sin can remove us from the presence of God, but not his covenant. Let me begin in verse 1. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, depart, go up from here, you and the people who you have brought up from the land of Egypt to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. So God is speaking back with Moses. He is giving him a command where it says, depart and go up. That is a command. Moses, it's time now to pick up camp. And you're to go. And you're going to go to the land that I swore, that I covenanted with, that I promised to give to the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, to your descendants, God says, I will give it. So we need to understand God's reiterating, I've said I was going to give it to you. I am going to give it to you. And now you need to go up and you need to go take that possession. We also understand that God will provide that protection. Verse 2 says, I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God said, I'm going to send an angel. This angel is going to be with you, and he's going to give you success. He is going to protect you as you make this journey. He's going to protect you as you go into the promised land. He says this angel will be with you. It will be going before you. God says, I'm going to drive everything out. I'm going to give you the land. But if you remember, we're standing here on the cusp of sin in the camp of Israel. When I read this next verse, I believe it's one that should grab our attention. Look at verse 3. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, because you are an obstinate people and a mighty, and I might destroy you on the way. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. God's saying there can be success in life without the presence of God. God's telling them here, they are an obstinate people. They're a stiff-necked, they're stubborn people. And because there was sin within their camp and they were refusing to obey what God was saying, God said, I've promised you, I've covenanted, I'm going to give to you, you're going to have success, you're going to go, you're going to get the land. I'm even going to send one of my messengers, an angel, with you, but Israel, I will not go with you. It is possible, church, to have success in life. It's possible to have happy relationships. It's possible to graduate school with honors. It's possible to go out and to get a good job, and you can have everything that the Joneses have, and everything can seem to be just right in your life, and yet there cannot be the presence of God. And that's scary. It's not somewhere I would want to be. Because there is a difference of having success without the presence of God than having success with the presence of God. So I believe the reality that sin, as we see here, can remove us from the presence of God, but not from His covenant. God is honoring His covenant. God is truthful, and God will do what He says. But God is not required or obligated to have us in His presence. Another reality is the reality that you can have a personal relationship with God. Amen? I believe that's what we want, a personal relationship. But I believe when I say this personal relationship, I'm talking about more than just salvation. We call it a personal relationship with God when you realize that you're a sinner, that you've been separated by God. It's what you earned. It's what you deserve. But yet God loved you enough that He sent His Son to die on the cross and said, if you'll come to me in faith and call on me and believe with me in all your heart, I'll save you. You have a personal relationship with God. But what I'm talking about here with a personal relationship is more than that. It's an intimate connection. I want us to see what it was that Moses, he was a prime example of having a personal and intimate, knowledgeable relationship with the Lord. And the first thing we see with Moses is that you need a specific place to meet with God. Look at verse 7. It says, "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp." Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp. Inside the camp had been so much going on, so much sin, so much disobedience, that outside the tent, Moses set up a place separate from everywhere else that he would go and meet with God. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie The War Room. And she had the main character in there, took out and cleaned out her closet. And it was a place that she would go. And when she went in there, she would meet with God. I believe we need to find a place in our life, some place that we can go and meet with God. Yes, you can meet with God anywhere you want to. You can meet with God driving down the road. Please do not close your eyes and fold your hands while you're driving. But I believe there is something special that when you have a place that you go and you meet with God, because when you go there, your body realizes, I'm fixing to meet with God. When you go there expecting to meet with God. And Moses set that up. He said he took that tent and pitched it up. He called it the tent of meetings, the places that he met with them. But not just that, it's important if you have that. But if you want this personal relationship with God that we're going to see explode in just a moment, that you need to actually go and meet with God. You know, you could set up the most fabulous little seat or cubby hole or place out in the woods, whatever it is, but if you don't ever go there, it's not going to work. If you don't ever meet with God, even wherever you're at in life, you need to go meet with God. Verse 8 said, "And it came about whenever Moses went out to the tent that all the people would arise and stand each at the entrance of his tent and gaze after Moses until he entered." Moses went out there, and when he went out, he went to meet with God. And I believe you need to, this is where I'm going to talk about your personal relationship. You need to speak with God, to God. Fellowship, speak, communication. What is it, graduates? Y'all have just graduated high school, so I hope you can answer this question. What does it mean to communicate with someone? You speak and you listen. And that's what we need to do with God. We need to speak to God. We need to express our relationship. We need to listen to God. We hear from God through reading His Word, by spending time with Him. Look at verse 11. This is so amazing to me. It says, "Thus the Lord used to speak with Moses face to face, just as man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." He would speak with God face to face. I need to pause there. Face to face here is what we call an idiom. Moses did not actually see God's face. Well, how do you know that? Wait till we get to the end. Scripture's going to tell us that. What is he talking about when Moses would speak to God face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend? I believe part of that is Moses was comfortable with God. He had that relationship, but what I believe it's saying is Moses would physically speak and Moses would physically hear God speaking back to him. It's one of the only people in Scripture that we really ever hear of this type of dialogue. But God speaks in many other ways. But what I want you to understand is that it is possible and that you can have a personal relationship with God. You can speak to Him. He loves you. He is not this all high and mighty, which He is, person sitting on a throne, which He is, that is not approachable. God is approachable. God wants us. God desires that relationship with us. Another reality is that you can trust God to be faithful to His Word. You can trust God to be faithful to His word. Moses was speaking in Exodus 33, verse 12. We read that Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'I have known you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight." What is he talking about? He's conversing with God. He's saying, "God, you're asking me to send these people, but you're not telling me who you're sending with me." He says, "God, you've known me by name. You have chosen me." Amen. When we come to Christ in saving faith, we become His. He chooses us and He draws us into Him. And if He has chosen us, then we can be assured that He is trustworthy and that He's faithful. God had chosen Moses. Moses desired God's presence above success. Look at verse 13. "Now therefore I pray, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Believe it or not, in the language to understand what is being said here, when Moses says, "I pray to you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know you," that's written in a command form. He's saying, "God, I need to know you. You need to tell me who you are." Moses is desiring to know God. He wants to know God's ways. He wants to know who God is. What is he talking about when it talks about know and consider to find favor in his sight? He's looking to know the character and the nature of God. And that's very important. We need to desire God above everything else, to know, to experience, and to have His nature and His character. Desire God's presence above success. I beg of you, graduates, now that you're graduated, you're moving out, you're deciding what's going to happen in life, choose God's presence over anything else. Not saying you won't have success. You will have success. God will bless you and God will use you. But don't just go after what the world says. Don't go after success without the presence of God. Listen to what Moses had to say in verse 15. "Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. God, I know you said you're going to give us the promised land. I know you said you're going to send an angel. You're going to give us success, a land flowing with milk and honey. But God, if you ain't going with us, don't move us.'" And that's where we should be. In our life, we should desire God above everything else. We should say, "God, if you're not going to go with me, then don't send me anywhere else. Don't move me from here." We should not aim to go anywhere if it's going without the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 16. He says, "For how then can it be that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that we are your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" Remember last week we talked about God said that "I have chosen you to" what? "Be my special prize, my special possession. I've called you to be a holy nation, a nation that is set apart from the rest." Look at what Moses is saying here. He said, "For how can it be that I have found favor in your sight? You've chosen me, God." He's reminding God of his promises, and that's okay to do in prayer. Not that God doesn't remember, but it reminds us, and it's calling God to what he has said. He said that found favor in your sight. You have chosen us, favor, to be your special possession. And then he says that your people may be distinguished from all other people. Your people may be, what, a holy nation. God is faithful to his word. He said, I'm calling you to be my special possession, to be set apart. Moses is reminding him, God, you need to go with us. Because let me tell you the difference. How do you become set apart and separate is by having the presence of God with you. When the presence of God with you, people notice the difference. You are set apart. You're different. You live different. The decisions you make, the honesty, the integrity that's in your life, you know right from wrong, and you live in that. But he's saying that where your special treasure, go with us. We need to be set apart. We can only do that if you go with us. And the last reality I want us to see today, that God will provide his presence if you desire him above all. You might say, Pastor, you're telling me desire God above all and I have his presence. Well, we're going to see here that if you desire him above everything else, you will have his presence. What do we do? How does that happen? But we need to seek. You need to seek after God's presence. Look at verse 18. Moses is in his relationship. He's communicating with the Lord. And then Moses said, verse 18, I pray you show me your glory. God, you say you're going to go with us. Show me your presence. Show me your glory. You see, when Jesus came to earth, we saw God in human form. What do we know? He came in flesh. The Bible tells us that flesh covered over his glory. We could not stand to see God in all of his glory. But Moses so desired and to seek after God that he's asking God to show him his presence. Show your presence with me. Let me see it. Let it be known to me. I desire that more than anything else. And he's seeking it. He's asking God for it. And then God answers Moses' prayer. Look at verse 19. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord, or the name Yahweh, the covenant name of God, before you. And I will be gracious to whom I am gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Now Moses prayed and asked God that he wanted to know him. He wanted to know his character, and he wanted to know his nature. He wanted God's presence with him. And now God is responding, and he says, I will pass all of my goodness before you. All of his goodness, his character. Moses, you're going to see my character pass before you. And then his nature, he said, I will be gracious to whom I am gracious and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. What did God tell him in the very beginning? I am who I am. Yahweh, God is saying, I will do what I'm going to do. I will be faithful. I am who I am. I will be what you need. This is my nature, and my character is before you. And then verse 21, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. Boy, Moses is getting ready for something good here. I hope y'all are too. He's asked God, I want to see your glory. He's seeking God. He's done confessed to God, if I don't have you, I don't want anything. God loves that. That honors God. What does God say? Moses is up on the rock. He's up on the mountain. We can look at that. He's up on the foundation. And what did God say? There is a place by me, right next to God. But God knows in his infinite wisdom that Moses couldn't see him fully. None of us can. But God said, what I'm going to do, Moses, because you desire me more than anything, I'm going to fulfill this desire. You're on the mountain. You're going to be by me. He said, I'm going to put you in a little cleft. I'm going to put you in this little cubby hole. But I'm so great, but I'm going to put my hand over you. And he says, I'm going to pass by. Look at verse 22. He says, and it will come about while my glory, while his presence is passing by you, then I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Personal. You're going to be by me. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to place my hand on you. Hey, you know the one thing we have to understand? What is God? God is a spirit. So this is what we call applying human attributes to God. God's hands, God's feet, God's face. These are attributes of a human that we apply onto God so that we can understand. But God says, I'm going to pass by, Moses. I'm going to use you, but the whole time that I'm working in your life, whole time I'm fulfilling your desire, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to put my hand on you. Look at verse 23. He says, then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. You're God's spirit. We couldn't see his face. That's why I told you a while ago it wasn't a face-to-face. What does he mean here? You'll see my back, B-A-C-K. If we go into the Hebrew, that would actually be a plural word, backs. When God removes his hand after he has passed by, he is going to allow Moses to see the effects of his presence and what he's done. Church, when we desire God more than anything else, we desire his presence, not just his God save me, I'm going to go to heaven. Guess what? If you're a believer, you're going to go to heaven, but yet you can live on this earth without the presence of God guiding and being a part of your life. He's with you through Holy Spirit. But when you desire and you seek after God, he wants to fulfill that desire. He will put his hand around you, and he will let his glory and his presence be seen all over you, all around you, as he's using. And you know what? How we get to see it is times we go through life, and it's like, what's happening? His hand was over Moses, but when he removed his hand, we can look back. And you can see the presence of God that was in your life. You can see the effects of God in your life. You see, the problem we've had, as I read one time, it says, sin is always costly, and Israel's sin had robbed them of the presence of God on the journey. Sin is costly. Unconfessed sin. You can read more in this chapter where God told them to remove the gold, and they removed all of their ornaments that they were wearing, and it was a form of confession and repentance. But sin is costly, and it was about to rob them of the presence of God. But because they were obedient to repent and to confess, and Moses was to plead with them in that desire, God allowed his presence to go with them. Charles Spurgeon once was quoted, God never permits his people to sin successfully. You can have a good relationship, a good life, a good job. You can have whatever you might think is success, good church membership, all of this stuff, and not have the presence of God in your life. God will not let you go on sinning and not serving and seeking him above all and allow everything to be fine in your life. So I plead with you, I plead with the church, seek the presence of God above everything else. Desire the presence of God above recognition, above success, above money, above everything else. And let me tell you, when you put God in the right place, I promise you, on the authority of his word, everything else will fall into the right place. May you bow your heads. Father God, I thank you that, Father, you express, Lord, that you want us to desire you above all. Father, out of gratitude for what you've done, Lord, what else can we do? But, Father, your word also tells us that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And, Father, times we fall into the life of this world. Father, I pray today, Lord, that there's anyone, Lord, that's seeking anything above you, Father, that your Holy Spirit would convict them right now. Father, at this very moment, they would confess that sin. They would confess and repent and to turn to you. And, Father, to seek you more. To seek you more than relationship, more than success, more than money, more than honor, more than anything else is you. Father, then allow you to honor. Father, would they be able to surrender to you today? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict them of this truth, that there can be life without the presence of God, but Father, it's so much more. Father, you designed us for that relationship with you. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.